Okay, at this time I'm going to introduce our first speaker. Don't know much about her. She just gave me a good hug when she got here. So, no further ado, Kat.
Yeah, Kat.
That was a great introduction. I'm Kat, I'm an addict.
Hey, Kat.
My clean date's May 3rd, 2011. So I was asked to speak on the triangle of self-obsession. And I was really ecstatic because, I don't know, for those of you that have been asked to speak on a topic specifically, we get placed there. So at least that's been my experience, is that we get extreme knowledge in the weeks leading up to it about what the triangle feels like. We get reminded and we get placed into it. And I was there a lot in the past couple weeks, reminded what it feels like to be trapped in the triangle of self-obsession, you know, and to be reminded that there's a way out. You know, resentment, anger, and fear, they keep me trapped, you know, and that I have a choice that whenever I get angry, I don't have to allow it to turn into resentment, that I can process that anger and I can talk about it and that there's a solution to it, right? That I can call somebody, I can process it, and that I'm allowed to feel emotions, and that's the gift of recovery that I get to feel, right? And that they're not always going to be the good, fluffy, happy emotions. That I'm going to feel the anger, I'm going to feel the disappointment, I'm going to feel the hurt, as well as I'm going to feel the love, you know, I'm going to feel the compassion, and I'm going to feel the empathy. It's what I do about it. And if I don't deal with the anger, it's going to lead to resentment. If I would sit here and say that in all the years that I've been clean, I haven't developed a new resentment, I would be lying at the podium, which I said I wouldn't do. It's just, what do I do with that resentment, right? Do I allow it to consume my day and my life? Well, that's what resentments do, right? And resentments kill me. They don't kill the other person or the place or the thing or the situation that I resent. They kill me. They kill my spirit. They kill my joy. They kill my relationships. They kill any productivity that is going to come out of my life and my existence for that just for today is done because I've allowed that resentment to consume me. So I have to get into the solution, which is probably that I have to figure out how I'm going to get past that resentment. And a lot of times I feel that if I'm going to forgive, you know, somebody who's that I've allowed to hurt me, right? If I'm going to get past this resentment, then that means that I have to allow them to continue to hurt me. And that's not the reality of it. You know, I'm allowed to have boundaries and I'm allowed to have respect for myself and not allowed, I'm not able to, how do I want to say this? I'm not supposed to allow somebody to abuse me, whether it be a significant other, whether it be a family member, whether it be the judicial system, you know, I have the ability to want and be allowed to be respected today, right? But I don't have to act out on resentment. I don't have to allow those things to fuel my behavior today. I have solution, and I get those by talking to members who have walked the path before me that give me the answers to those things today. And fear is always what is going to happen. It's always, for me, a projection into the future or that I'm going to fail at something. I'm never going to know if I'm going to fail at something unless I try. And that fear of failure kept me stuck from trying to get clean for how long? You know, why would I even try? I could never do it. You know, well, I'm doing it. You know, and there was probably a lot of people that put a lot of money on the fact that I couldn't, and myself included, you know. And there was a lot of fear that I couldn't succeed at being a mother, you know, and I'm doing it. You know, even the Commonwealth said I couldn't do it for an extended period of time, and I'm doing that. You know, do I do it perfectly? Absolutely not. But I do it to the best of my ability just for today. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. But do I own up to them, and do I talk about them, and do I try to get better at it daily? Yes. You know, do I have fear that I'm going to fail on a daily basis at some of the things that I try to succeed at? Yeah. I just got into grad school, and I start on Monday. Absolutely 100% full of fear. You know, for 2 weeks, I struggled, and I was in that triangle. You know, first I got denied from a school, and then I was like, F it, I'm not even going to try again. You know, anger, right? And then I let it turn into resentment. Screw them. Why wouldn't they want me? You know what I mean? So then it was, you know, well, it has to be because of my felonies. And, you know, and I mean, it was, you know, it was because of my criminal background and, you know, everything else. And then I just wanted to throw the towel in, and I wanted to quit. And then, you know, and then it came into this, I got accepted into this school, and then it became this fear of like, well, what if I fail? You know, and there I was, stuck in this triangle for weeks, and then it finally came to the point where I had to have like a little mini meltdown and go to myself, well, you know what happens if I fail? I fail. And it's okay. I'll try again. That's all right. I'll pick myself up and I'll dust myself off and I'll try again, because if that's the absolute worst thing that happens to me is I fail at something, as long as I don't pick up, it was a good day, you know, and that is the reality of where I have to be in my life every single moment of the day. And it doesn't mean that I get there by myself. I get there with we, you know, through talking it out with other people and knowing that the solution is not to run away in fear, is not to allow the anger to consume me that I get to the point of resentment, but to talk it out and to try to get to the solution is by talking with other people and not staying stuck in that triangle. To know that there is a solution today and that I don't have to stay stuck there, because I stayed stuck in that triangle for so many years that it kept me sick and it kept me using. You know, and if I stay stuck in that triangle of self-obsession for too long, I'm going to pick up. That's the reality of it for me today. And if I don't ask for help, I'm going to die. You know, and if I don't die physically, I'm going to die spiritually. I'm going to die emotionally. I'm going to die mentally until I eventually die physically. And so for me, whenever it comes to the triangle of self-obsession, like every time they bring it up in a meeting, like I take in what every single person shares about it, because I know what it's like to be stuck there. And I know how easy it is for me to think when anything is going on in this world, it's about me. Whenever in reality, it's not, you know. And sometimes when I'm sitting there and I'm listening to other people talk, and I'm like, you know, like yesterday, perfect example, you know, my fiance is talking about his boss, who his son's in prison, and he's, you know, got all these charges, these drug charges and all this stuff. And he's like, I think he's really trying to like take me under his wing as like a replacement for his son and da 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 da, like all this stuff. And I'm like, do you ever think that maybe he just, you know, really likes you and he just, like, wants to, like, try to help you and give back, and it's not really a codependent, like, situation at all, you know? And he's like, wow, babe, maybe. You know? And I'm like, but, like, right there, you know? I mean, just a different perspective to change that, you know, that self-obsession that we honestly really think that everything's about us. To the point that we will obsess on it and convince ourselves that is the reality. And sometimes it just takes somebody coming in from an outside perspective to say, like, are you really that delusional? You know, but in a nice, kind, loving way. Because I know that the people that have helped me along the way, you know, have sometimes done it through blunt force trauma, and have sometimes done it, you know, really kind and loving, you know, have really said to me, you know, Kat, it's really not all about you. You know, I really don't think that they were trying to harm you or hurt you. I really think that you probably weren't even brought into the equation when somebody made that decision, and you were just unfortunately, you know, caught in the crosshairs. And, you know, but us, we like to think that it's all about us. So then we become the victim. So for me, when it comes to that, you know, it's always breaking it down into the resentment, anger, and fear, and deciding, you know, which one do I have to work on first? Because usually, if I'm stuck, it's all three of them, you know. all three of them are playing a factor in which one came first and how in the hell do I dig my way out of it. And, well, I got a lot more time to go, huh? Okay. So, I thought that was a long time, but I guess not. So, but whenever, so we can go back, I probably should have started there, but whenever I, when I first came in, if we look at working, working the steps, and then if we're going to look at where we go through, you know, resentment, anger, and fear, if we're going to look at our fourth, you know, and fifth step, you know, honestly, we're not going to break out of that triangle until we're getting through those steps. You know, one, two, and three. I mean, if we're talking about powerlessness and unmanageability, in the beginning, powerless over our addiction and our lives have become unmanageable, I think we got checkmate when we're walking in these rooms, right? And then came to believe, you know, power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and then making a decision. But, you know, four and five is where we're really looking at the resentment, anger, and fear in our lives. And we're really doing the inventory, and we're really seeing where these things dictate our behavior and where we can change those things and where we can get honest with another human being and God. And then we start looking at the character defects and the shortcomings. If we don't do that, you know, it makes sense for me for the first, you know, however long it takes us to get there, that we are so stuck in that triangle, you know. I know for myself that I was there for an extended period of time. You know, whenever I was fighting for custody of my daughters, I went to court. The courts had custody of them, and I remember going to court and being so upset and frustrated because why wouldn't they just give me my kids back? I was a good mother, you know. The only thing that I did was use drugs and sell drugs with them. I didn't understand, you know, but I didn't, you know, I didn't abuse them. You know, these were the justifications that I had in my head. I really didn't understand why they wouldn't give me my kids. And I was so obsessed with self that I couldn't see past that stuff, you know. And I was so angry at her father. And a lot of it boiled down to jealousy for me that came out, you know, in my fourth and fifth. That I realized that, you know, he had walked away and he was out there using, and it was just me fighting the Commonwealth, you know, that he had decided that he still wanted to get high. And so it was just me left to my own devices fighting for my daughters back. And I was so angry. And I was angry at the Commonwealth because who were they to tell me how I was allowed to raise my kids, you know, and if I was allowed to raise my kids. So as I worked through the steps, you know, with a sponsor, and I kept coming back to meetings, and I was going through that process because it took till after I had a year clean that I got custody of my daughters back, for me to see, you know, looking back, how obsessed I was with self and how angry I was at them, when they really weren't to blame, you know, and had I had that clarity in those moments, and whenever I'm working with people and I'm trying to get them to see, you know, other women going through those struggles and trying to see past that triangle, like when they're in it, you know, it's really, really hard to see that when you're in that moment, you know, when you're fueled by that resentment, anger, and fear of all those harms that have been done to you, and to try to see that there is a way out and that you can try to look at it from a different perspective and to see that what's our part in it, you know. For me, if somebody would have been able to sit me down and walk me through it, through that process, I might have gotten to my end goal a lot sooner, as opposed to going into the courts and trying to tell the judges what, you know, what I wanted and why they should give it to me, and all the reasons that I was a good mother. You know, when there really wasn't much leg to stand on, you know. And for me, I always felt like I was the victim, you know. I was the victim of the court system because they had taken me in and out of prison for years and they never offered me treatment till the last time and I got clean. You know, and I held on to that for a long time, you know, in and out of prison my entire adult life. And the last time when they finally offered me treatment, I got clean. Like, look, you sons of bitches. Like, if you would have gave me treatment, how long ago? Knowing damn well that probably wouldn't have been the end result, you know? But, I mean, they let me sit in a prison cell for how long? You know, how many times? I held on to that, you know? That righteousness that if they would have allowed me to go to treatment the first time, who knows, maybe my life would have been different. In all reality, that's probably not the case. Because as soon as I got released from prison, I got high. I went right to the city. If it wasn't in the parking lot waiting, I went right down and got it. You know, it wasn't until they put me in a state alternative program and they put me on house arrest so I couldn't drink. And I was given that time of clarity, you know. And went to treatment 5 days a week, and they invited me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, so you can thank the Commonwealth for my presence here today, because I did not come willingly. You know, they forced me to come. I was one of those individuals that came and put a slip in the basket and, you know, walked out the door because I didn't believe that you guys were clean, and I sure as shit didn't want what you guys had. And by sitting in here for a little bit and being brainwashed, I believe that you guys had something, you know. You guys were happy, and you guys had something, and I wanted it, and I just didn't know how to get it, you know. And then they talked about women and getting a female sponsor, and I tried to manipulate my counselor into allowing me to get a male sponsor, and she wasn't going for that. She said women went with women and men with men, and I didn't like women because they were backstabbing lying bitches that would steal your dope and sleep with your men, and so she forced me to get a female sponsor. And so I did, you know. It took me a minute, but I finally did. And I'm grateful that I did, you know, because that built the first actual real relationship that I ever had in my life, you know, and I needed that to be able to work through any of the stuff that I've worked through and any of the knowledge that I gained, because I would sit in these meetings and I would be up in my head worried about what I was going to share on the topic that you guys were talking about, and I was like, what am I going to share on that? What am I going to share on that? And they would be like, stop thinking about what you're going to share and just pray and share. Because when you're up in your head worrying about what you're going to share, you're missing the message. You're going to miss the thing that's going to save your life down the road, you know. And I will tell you that there has been stuff that I heard in the first 6 months of sitting in these rooms that saved my ass 6 years down the road, you know. And I couldn't have told you that in the first 6 months sitting here, that this is what I'm going to need to know 6 years down the road, you know. But it's the reality of it. It's the truth of it, because I didn't know that those situations were going to manifest in my life, but they came about, you know. And I got that just for today by coming back and knowing that if I came into these rooms and I asked for the help, that you guys were going to be sitting here to help me navigate it and learn how to work through the emotions and the feelings so that I didn't have to stay stuck just for today, and that I could come here and I could share about the anger that I was getting, and I could share about the fear that I felt, you know, and you guys would tell me to just go ahead and do it anyways, you know what I mean? Walk through the fear. Don't let it keep you paralyzed, you know what I mean? Like, it's okay to be afraid. Do it afraid. And that's what people would tell me all the time, so I did a lot of shit afraid, and I still do, you know? And that I could be angry. I just couldn't allow it to consume me. And I couldn't act out on it. So that means that, like, I can't slash people's tires, you know. I can't tell people what I really feel about them. Sometimes, you know, I have to bite my tongue and then give it to my sponsor. My sponsor tells me that all the time. It's probably one of the best suggestions that I can give you. Talking about anger, you know, if you feel it, you know, don't scream it at the person that you're angry at, because we're supposed to be here to build each other up, not tear each other down. You know, call one of your supports and give it to them. Call them and tell them what you want to say to that person that you're angry at. You know, say, listen to what this person did. Blah, 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 blah. Get it out there. You know, don't tear the other person down and say it to them. You know, it works. You know why it works, because we get it out, we get the emotion out and the feeling out, and then we don't have to tear another human being down in the meantime. And most of the time, if you think about it, the things that you say in anger you probably wouldn't say the next day. You know, so you can save yourself a lot of pain and probably people getting resentments against you by giving that anger to somebody else on the flip side. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Kat. I forgot to tell Kat, is, her home group is Miracles at Work, and you're from the, what, Central Westmoreland area?